Tonight we consider the matter of the rich young ruler and his wealth. As we think of that encounter between this young man and the Lord Jesus, try and turn our minds back to the Holy Land in those days. It was another work day for the Lord Jesus, beyond the Jordan in Judea. And if you read the account in Matthew's Gospel, it says great multitudes came to him and he healed them all. What a wonderful day. Everyone with a problem, whether physical, spiritual, mental, social, comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he helps them. Dear friends, do you know him, our ever-present, all-resourceful Lord Jesus, who is the same yesterday and today and forever, and he is able to meet your needs, whatever it is? Come to him daily, morning, evening, and noon, and find in him your all-sufficiency, our great Lord Jesus. On this occasion, this encounter ended on a sad note. This young man left the Lord very sorrowful because he had great possessions and he was not willing to do what the Lord had asked him to do. That is, go sell all you have, give to the poor, come, follow me, and you'll find life everlasting. But to him, it was a price too high to pay. Here, I would like to just make a note. The Lord Jesus does not ask everyone to go and sell all that he has. Why did he ask this rich young ruler to go and sell all that he had and give to the poor? Is that a condition for following the Lord Jesus? I say no. We have come and he gladly accepts us to follow him, to be disciples, and to be brought into his great kingdom. But I'd say not one of us was ever asked to go and sell all that we have. Why then did the Lord Jesus ask this man? We must understand the Lord Jesus sees the heart. He saw the heart of this young man coming to him. He knew this young man had really no interest in the kingdom of God, but he was just hoping for, as it were, to have 2 feet in 2 camps. I want my wealth. I'm also interested in the kingdom of God. Can I have both? So the Lord knew his heart, his motive, his intention, and so the Lord went straight to the matter and said, you really want to follow me? Do this. And that proved that this young man had really no interest in serving God. As we think of that encounter that ended in a sort of a failure for the man, and the Lord saying that how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It is even easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye. In other words, Jesus is impressing on his disciples that if a man sets his heart on wealth, it becomes very difficult for him to want salvation in Jesus Christ. The two do not mix. How then can a rich man be saved, right? We ask ourselves, is it possible? The Lord Jesus gives the answer right away. He says, with man, impossible, but not with God. With God, everything is possible. So, next week, we are going to deal with another encounter, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus lived in a city which is greatly in the news today. Jericho, the headquarters or the city of Yasser Arafat. You know that? He lives in Jericho today. And Jericho is said to be the oldest city inhabited upon earth. Now, on that occasion, the encounter, which we are going to hear next week, but just to let you know, that encounter ended on a very happy note. For Zacchaeus, very rich, came and he found salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful. If there are any rich people here, don't feel dismayed that, oh, the Lord says rich people cannot come to the kingdom. It's not that. No matter how rich you are, no matter how poor you are, no matter who you are, come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, believing you are saved. So, on that day, having saved Zacchaeus, the Lord Jesus says, this day is salvation come to this house, the house of Zacchaeus, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Again, I say this saying of the Lord Jesus gives us the greatest hope, gives us the greatest comfort to know that we have a Savior who came to seek us. We who are lost, we who are finished and undone, without any hope, coming to the Savior, he says, I came for you. For that purpose I came, to seek and to save that which is lost. So I say there is hope, dear friends, hope for every repenting sinner. The day that Zacchaeus was saved, there was joy in heaven in the presence of God's angels. What a wonderful thought it is, isn't it? When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation, there is a great repercussion in heaven. Another sinner has come back to God and there is rejoicing. Zacchaeus told the Lord Jesus after he had received him, he says, Lord, I realize I am at great fault. I realize I need you and I want to turn to you. He says, the half of my goods I give to the poor. See here, Jesus did not ask him to sell all that he had to give to the poor, but he volunteered. He says, half of all that I have I give to the poor. And if by any means I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll return him fourfold. Oh, how great that salvation was that followed his confession of the Lord. So, while it is difficult for a man to enter the kingdom of God, even as a camel cannot go through the needle's eye, our God can do the impossible. God can change our attitude towards money. And that is the theme of tonight. The rich young ruler, his heart was all for his money and his possessions, those things that he could see and count and measure and assess and enjoy the thought of possession. Oh, how wonderful, my investments, my empire is growing. His whole heart was sunk in those things. And only God can change our attitude. You need not be rich. But if your heart is all the time thinking of material things, you are in the same position as the rich young ruler. No different. Heart that is sucked into the world, completely devoted to your material acquisitions, then it is very hard for you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us understand, it is not the amount you have, but the attitude you have. The attitude towards things, the attitude towards wealth, and the acquisition of wealth. Just to prove this point, You know, the very first Christian whom God called to follow, Abraham, came out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he followed the Lord Jesus. The account in Genesis says, and Abraham was very rich. Alright? How wonderful it is, isn't it? And that proves, the Lord says, with God, all things are possible. Very rich person called Abraham. And he came, left his home, his business, his establishment, and he plucked up his roots and moved, following the Lord all his years, 100 years. Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. But he had an obedient, submissive, humble heart to hear the word of God and then to say, now I know. Now I know. In my father's house, all those idols are false. For those idols never spoke to me. Those idols never did anything to me. In the same way that those idols we had in our own ancestral homes, and even now in some homes, they have idols, little ones and big ones of all kinds. They do nothing. They sit there and they are just made pretty. So Abraham heard the voice of God and they followed all his life. What a wonderful testimony. Another person who followed was Moses. It's good to read what they did in their time. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll just briefly look into this account of Abraham and Moses. First of all, we look into the account of Moses. Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26, very important verse. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. This makes sense. As they say, he who laughs last, laughs best. The end is more important than the beginning. Moses, at the beginning of his career, saw God had greater things for him than the immense, incomparable wealth and pomp and the luxury of the Egyptian court. And he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he would have inherited, he could have become the Pharaoh. Right? Of course. He was well trained, ready to take over. But he saw that God had far greater riches than the wealth and treasures in Egypt. This is what we all need to understand. Pray. Some may be caught in this great competitive society of Singapore today. Everybody is rushing, going regional, offshore, global, getting a bigger slice of the cake. Keep on pressing on, making more and more, so that everybody grows richer and richer. There is a great trap there. Dear friends, we must change our attitude. Moses had everything at his feet, the greatest empire on earth at that time, with all his immense wealth, plus all the pyramids, everything there. He could have inherited the whole thing and become the Pharaoh, but God showed him there is the recompense of the reward coming ahead. That's what matters, not now. You go and become the Pharaoh and enjoy all the riches, eventually you lose the recompense of the reward. That's what we must always think, dear friends. Far better than the riches of Egypt. The riches of Jesus Christ are everlasting, imperishable, fadeth not away, incorruptible, reserved in heaven for you and me. When you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the recompense of the reward. What's the use of being a millionaire and missing those things, isn't it? So here we are. Abraham also had the same experience. Of course, he was the father of the faithful. Let's see what he did. Abraham, in the same chapter of Hebrews, verse 9, by faith Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Verse 10, Hebrews 11:10, for Abraham looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God showed to him, Abraham, I call you out of Ur of the Chaldees to Canaan, the promised land. This is not the land. I have something far better than the earthly Canaan. There is a heavenly Canaan for Abraham. There is a heavenly Canaan for you and me. All of us who have left our idol-worshipping past or unbelieving past or whatever past that God called you out of into His marvelous salvation, you have the promise of a heavenly Canaan. And never lose sight of it. For when you see it clearly, then all the things of this earth fade into nothing. Whether you have succeeded in going quickly into China to get a piece of the investment, or now into Vietnam, Cambodia, Myanmar, everywhere people are rushing, going quickly, quickly, don't miss the boat. And you've missed the boat. You say, well, I'm too late. Dear friends, with Jesus Christ, you're never too late. Putting your trust in Him, those things are nothing. If you missed it, so what? The Lord has better things. Keep following Him. Keep following Him. Be faithful. So, let's see what Abraham did. Verse 13. Abraham died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and was persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that he was a stranger and pilgrim on this earth. For, verse 14 says, he plainly declared that he sought a city, a country. Verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have returned. This is it. Following Jesus is a one-way following of no return, because to return to the old ways is disaster, is retrograde, is back to the old ways of no hope and no salvation. Following Jesus is one straight road ahead. It may be a narrow road, maybe a difficult road, bumpy, never mind. Keep following, because there is recompense of the reward coming for all of us. Wonderful. So, for Abraham, verse 16 says, now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a country and a city. How wonderful. These things are afar off, but by faith we see them. And when you've seen the promises of God with your mind's eye, with the eye of faith, then things are never the same again. Although the things that God promises us are very far off, nevertheless, by faith they become very real. Very near. And when your heart is there and heaven is so near, you live, as it were, on a different plane every day. You don't wake up and think, now what must I do to increase wealth? Increase wealth every day. No. You wake up in the morning and say, thank God for another day of opportunity and service. And Lord, lead me in your perfect path. As I follow, help me to see the heavenly city. Help me to see my heavenly home. so that the things of earth will grow strangely dim, and I will not be hankering after them anymore, and I can follow you faithfully. This is what we all must learn. By faith, we see what? The promises of God. God has promised, I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Have this great promise daily before you, every day. As you go about your work, whether in studies or in office or factory or at home, my Lord has promised, He's preparing the place for me. Soon He's coming for me. I have riches beyond this earth. Far better than a million in the bank, you know. Of course, we all don't mind to have an extra million in the bank, isn't it? It's good. Yes, we all need money. But we must know how to see money, how to regard money, the attitude towards money. It's very important. Now, by faith, we see the invisible. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Evidence? You say, how do you know? What evidence do you have to prove to me that God has prepared a home for you in heaven? What evidence? Answer, faith. God has spoken in His Word, in this book, and I know every chapter of this book is true. Every line of this book is true. Every word of this book is true. By faith, I see the invisible. By faith, daily I see the road ahead of me. By faith, daily I look forward to the heavenly home that God has prepared. I'm very sure. Are you? Are you sure that there is a home prepared for you? Far better than now those wonderful executive condominiums they talk about on television every day. Wonderful! Government is going to help everybody live better, happier, richer. Wonderful! Singapore, up and on, all the time. Dear friends, Singapore is a great country, but heaven is better. And God has prepared a place for all of us. So I say, as we think of the rich, the poor rich ruler, poor rich ruler who went away very sorrowful, we pray God to help us not to be like that young rich ruler. Pray for faith. Faith is believing all of God's promises and never letting go. Now I've heard the word of God. I've followed the Savior all my life, so far, so many years, and He has never been unfaithful to me. Has He? Has your Savior been unfaithful to you? If at all there is any problem, it is because I have been unfaithful to Him. But He has done me no wrong. My Savior is faithful always. Therefore, I follow. Follow Him. By faith, pray that you see our heavenly inheritance. And once you have seen, then your whole perspective of life changes. Your whole attitude towards life changes. Your attitude towards things changes. Material possessions become no longer the dominant thought in your mind. You know what is dominant thought? Something that really overpowers your thinking. All the time I'm thinking, my shares, all my investments, all my bank account, my this, my that, my insurance, my investments. Oh, how are they doing? Must look after them all the time, running around, pursuing. We need these things only because we are on this earth. Only because we have to have those things like traveler's checks. All right, you're traveling, you need some traveler's checks. Only because you're traveling, you need them to speed you along the way. You need currency to facilitate this temporary sojourn on earth, very temporary. So what need is there to accumulate and to carry a lot of lumber with you, a lot of possessions? Because in the end, we must learn to travel light. Because the more you have, the more burdens you bear. And the more you leave behind, the more sorrows you give to people behind. We all need this currency, money, possessions, that they should be at our disposal. Let none here allow money and possessions to master him and himself become a slave to his investments. Oh, what a sad thing it is. So this is the problem with men. Too many men make money an idol and a master to worship and to obey and to serve. And every day he runs around because he wants to make more money. He becomes a slave. And therefore, one day you'll be very sorrowful. Like the rich young ruler, he'll go away from the Lord very sad because he would not part with his wealth. This is the sad thing. Now, let us think through this evening that material possessions have a strange power to hold men's hearts. That's why the 10th commandment, thou shalt not be greedy. Don't be greedy. Because on earth, enough is enough. And the one who sets his heart to get more and becomes greedy, that kind of greed grips and you are caught. And you find it very hard to let go. This kind of greed for things blinds your eyes to eternal realities because you are engrossed all the time, every day. You think of money, money, money. Then you do not have a clear mind to think of eternity. And the realities of eternity, which are the things that endure, the things that are real worth to you, you don't know how to think. You don't see them. You don't think they're important. So every day you work for money. That is very sad. This kind of greed for material things blurs your mind. You can't see clearly. Dulls your senses. And causes many people, when their senses are dull, to do foolish things. To do foolish things. Some. Now these are real instances. Oh, this was about 20 years ago. Everybody was on fever. Stock market fever. Even the fool goes to the stock market and buys something, tomorrow it goes up and he knows he makes money. Everybody is chasing. Everybody is watching the temperature go up until our great prime minister says the bubble will burst. And very soon the bubble burst and many people lost their houses because they thought this kind of trend must go on forever, but it didn't go on forever. So some shares at 45 dropped down to 15. So people lost. They say fingers burned, but these are total immolation. The whole body burned up. Dear friends, so God's word teaches us the love of money is the root of all evil and leads to many sorrows. So I say again, yes, I'm not telling you that you don't need to have money. No. We all need money. And for most of us, I think it is right to say, well, the more the better. Why not? I can do more good things. Provided you have the right attitude towards money. Yes. If I'm going to do missions and I have 10,000 and the Lord sends me another 10, I say, the more the better. I give it to missions. That is the attitude, the right attitude. But a man who sets his heart and mind on acquiring money to put in the bank to earn more interest, that is a trap. Right? The great lesson that we all must learn is that people who set their heart and mind on money are doomed to disappointment. Let me repeat that. A person who sets his heart and mind on making money is doomed to disappointment, because if he doesn't make, he'll be very disappointed. If he makes, he will still be disappointed because other people make more. And since he's on the track of pursuing, then he says, my, I didn't make enough, not enough. So he's disappointed. Very sad, very, very true. So this kind of craving saps the soul and robs a person of his peace of mind. We come to the conclusion. Let me ask you a question. How many here are secretly aspiring to be a millionaire? In Singapore, it is quite easy nowadays. Very easy. I would say about half the people are now millionaires. Simply because of the artificial inflationary value of property. True? Yes. So, if you are aspiring secretly to be a millionaire, listen to this. I have done a bit of research. In the year 1923, there was a meeting of the 8 richest men in America, in the city of Chicago. President of the largest steel company was there. President of the largest utility company. President of the gas company. President of the New York Stock Exchange, a member of the President of the United States of America's cabinet was there, and the greatest manipulator in Wall Street, and the head of the world's greatest monopoly, and the president of the greatest bank, 8 people. And they had never had it so good, because they virtually control the money in the great land of America. Now, as I said, you must always think of the end. Don't think of the beginning. Things may be good now, but you are more concerned, will it be good at the end? When I've come to the end of my life, will I receive what? The recompense of the reward. Will God give me what He promised and that I have been pursuing? Will you get it? The recompense of the reward. For these 8, let me tell you the end. 3 of them ended in suicide. 3 of them went into prison. 1 became a bankrupt. Now that is the end of the 8 of them. Number 8th one escaped. He didn't go to jail or to bankruptcy. Dear friends, let none here set his heart and mind on acquiring wealth. We must strive for excellence. There is nothing wrong with that. We must strive to be thrifty and save money for the rainy day. There's nothing wrong with that. We must learn to invest judiciously, wisely. Some investment is important for us. Why? Because we are in this life. We must know how to guard our little possessions. But then let none be caught up in this great craving and greed for more and more and more. For then there will be problem. Now we want to end this evening's discussion with the word of God from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Most valuable verses which will go with you along life's pathway to guide you, to direct you, to protect you, and to keep you from straying away. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. First Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Dear friends, ponder this verse. Godliness, what does it mean? My life and my heart are both in the control of God. Every day, whatever I do, I have reference to God first. He rules my life. He rules my heart, my ambition, my purpose in life, my objective, my ultimate goal is that I may be a useful servant of God to glorify His name. Godliness. Whatever I do, I must please God. Godliness. Contentment. After all, we can only eat 3 meals. After all, we can only sleep in 1 bed. After all, we can only drive in 1 car. So, if you have those things, be contented. Don't say, well, he's got 2, I better have 2. And he's got so much, I must catch up. Contentment means, God, you have given me so much. Thank you. Help me to use it to the greatest advantage. Help me to always remember that what I have is given by you. And I will render to the Lord his tenth, the tithe. Never forget your tithe. That is godliness, contentment. Why? I'm contented. After all, God gave me 10. I keep 9. I still have a lot, isn't that? Is that so? Yes. He's given me 10. I give 1/10 back to God sometime. God prospers me with more. I give 2/10, 3/10. Until one day you're able to give 5/10, 6/10, or more. Why not? When God opens the windows of heaven and pours you down so great a blessing, you have no room to contain it. Say, Lord, you've given me so much, I return them to you. For the use of your kingdom, for the advancement of the kingdom, of the gospel beyond Singapore, you give back to God. Contentment, godliness is the greatest gain. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Absolute fact. But most people do not live like it. Most people do not live like it. The story is told of the great Alexander the Great, the Greek conqueror, who at the age of 29 had the whole of the eastern of the Western Empire at his feet, that is Europe. Then he went east and conquered up to India, everything of the east also at his feet. Then he looked and cried. He said, now I have no more to conquer. But then God struck him down with sickness, illness. I believe he died about 31 years old. Before he died, he gave instructions. He says, now show to the world the futility of power and possessions. I have owned 2 empires, Western Empire, Eastern Empire, 2 hands. I got 2 empires. Now I got to let go. I'm going. He says, when you bury me, put the 2 hands out for people to see that I have gone empty-handed. True? Yes. We all came into this world with nothing. One day we go with nothing. How then, in the process on this earth, all of us got a lot of things. A lot of things. Acquired. More and more. Why? Ah, dear friends, actually the less we have, the better it is. 8. And having food and raiment and clothing, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition, men such as presidents of countries, presidents of banks, great ministers, great investors, tycoons, all caught and brought to court, and some of them in great shame, all fulfilling this first Timothy 6:9. Why? Because they will be rich. They will be rich. Nothing wrong with being rich. But will be rich means set your heart and mind to be rich and richer and richer and richer, to acquire more and more money and wealth. Then you fall into temptation and a snare. Verse 10 now. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Now, God speaks to all of us in the next verse. But thou, O man of God, tonight in Calvary, Pandan, all of you who name the name of Jesus Christ and claim to be Christians, O man of God, flee these things. Don't because a friend says, come, we must do this. Great investment, return 300%, guaranteed in 1 year. I say, no such thing. Don't you follow them. Thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Now on to verse 17. Verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Uncertain riches. They say money has wings. Or they fly away faster than you think. So trust not in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, things that are of incorruptible worth, things that endure, things that are undefiled, things that are reserved, and God keeps them for you. Put your trust there. Your trust in the Lord. Every day. Don't worry too much about whether you get more or less. Verse 18. That they do good. That they be rich in good works. Ah, how wonderful it is. I'm not too worried that I don't have too much money. But I know this. I am rich in good works. This is what this verse says. Can you say that for yourself? I missed that opportunity of making a million, but never mind. It says here, I will do good so that I am rich in good works, ready to give, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Verse 20, O Timothy, this is written by Paul. Paul to his young successor, O Timothy, and I say to all of you, dear friends, O brethren and sisters, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank thee that thou art the God of all riches. We thank thee for the unsearchable riches of our salvation in Christ Jesus, and that in the day to come it will be fully revealed when the Son of Man shall return for us, and we shall be gathered to him together forever in the heavenly home. Bless thy people. Increase faith that we may trust and obey through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.